10-4-22. You are now funding an even more deadly gain-of-function virus.
I get to see it. I'm a first-hand witness, completely blown away every day by the explosion of this platform. But the glory does not belong to Stu Peter.
I'm not making this up.
This is God's platform, and all glory be to God.
Seriously, Peter Daszak has now received an NIH grant to whip up an even more dangerous plandemic, a bat coronavirus.
Why is Tony Fauci still running around free?
Paul Alexander will be here today. We are uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. October 4th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peter Show. My name is Stu. We'll get to all of that. But first, I think it's extremely important for us to address this proxy undeclared war that we're fighting against Russia in Ukraine. This war has now been going on for more than 7 months. Tens of thousands of people have been killed on all sides. And there's no end of this war in sight. And now you might have seen recent news stories that suggest Ukraine is about to win this war. Totally fake. Completely untrue. Any battlefield gains that Ukraine may have made in the big picture have only retaken them a tiny portion of the amount of land that they've already lost. More importantly, Ukraine simply doesn't have the weaponry or the manpower that it would ever need to force Russia out of the war. So now Ukraine's best case scenario is a stalemate against a country that outnumbers them about 5-1, at least. None of this had to happen. As we have explained over and over again on this show, Russia's demands prior to the war were completely reasonable. They wanted Crimea recognized as part of Russia, which was both fact on the ground and what the people of Crimea clearly want. They wanted the Russian regions of the Donbass left in peace. They wanted a deal to make Ukraine neutral with a guarantee that it would never join NATO, a force designed specifically to fight Russia, and that Ukraine would never host American weapons on its soil. That's what Russia wanted. And this wasn't an ultimatum. No, they repeatedly said that they were willing to negotiate. But it was our illegitimately installed fake government, the bad guys here in America, along with the deep state, that categorically refused to ever negotiate. Instead, we constantly hinted about letting Ukraine into NATO and even sent our own soldiers there as advisors. You know, the Bible says blessed are the peacemakers. But this fake demonic regime were very much not the peacemakers in Ukraine. No, we constantly pushed Ukraine and Russia towards war, and now here we are. So naturally, eventually, of course, Putin decided that he had no other options. And so he invaded Ukraine to get exactly what we weren't willing to negotiate over. And now exactly what we warned was going to happen is coming to pass. Russia hasn't won the war only because they've been precise and disciplined. They haven't lost the war, and they won't. So instead, what we're getting is a long and horrific stalemate. Russia slowly made gains for 5 months, but now because of Putin's discipline, Ukraine, according to our fake press, has slowly made gains at enormous cost. So what has this cost us exactly? So far, about $100 billion, with tens of billions more to come if we insist on continuing to bankroll this war. The biggest beneficiaries of this war are the criminals who have ruled Ukraine for the past decade. That $100 billion that we've sent to Ukraine, most of it is completely untraced, and for that matter, untraceable. So we're basically funneling money to the same people who had the Biden crime family on its payroll back in the Burisma days. Before this war, Ukraine was one of the poorest countries in Europe, but yet still had plenty of billionaires. And after this war, those billionaires will be even richer, while the country is yet even poorer. Besides that, though, we're going to achieve exactly nothing. For one, there was basically nothing to achieve. It makes zero difference to any part of your life whether Ukraine or Russia owns the Crimea or the Donbass or Kherson. Our fake leaders are doing this because they want to destroy Russia. Why? Because Russia is a government that promotes Christianity and opposes homosexuality and mutilating children. Period. And they're not going to destroy Russia. Despite the best efforts of America's government to turn Russia into a continent-sized North Korea, they've completely failed. Russia is still trading with China, and they're still trading with India. They haven't lost the ability to run a normal economy. They've just lost the presence of pointless Western brands like McDonald's. Who gives a damn? Meanwhile, it's Europe's economy that's on the brink of collapse. 2 years ago, you needed $1.22 to buy 1 euro. Now the dollar is worth more than a euro. We're close to the dollar being worth more than a British pound for the first time ever. Germany's factories are shut down because of high energy costs. If they stay closed for another 6 months, many of them will never reopen. We are seeing Europe return to a pre-industrial state right before our eyes, thanks to the combined forces of climate insanity and anti-Russia insanity and anti-Christian insanity. But this just isn't about the war being pointless bloodshed and a huge waste of money over something that has nothing to do with the interests of the American people. No, every day this war keeps going, it becomes more of an existential threat to the entire planet. Remember, Russia allegedly has the largest nuclear arsenal in the world. So far, they haven't used it, thank God. But their resolve not to do so looks to be slipping. A week ago, Russia held referendums in the territories it's captured, and it claims that these referendums voted in favor of joining Russia. So now, Russia has annexed all of the territories it has troops in. In a speech last week, President Putin made it clear what this means. He said that from now on, it is 100% non-negotiable that all of these regions must stay within Russia as part of peace negotiations. And more ominously, he repeated this threat, that Russia will use all of the tools in its arsenal to protect its territorial integrity. And he pointed directly at the United States when he said this. 73 years ago, the U.S. set precedent for using nuclear weapons in warfare. Putin said that. And he's right. And Russia is absolutely 100% ready to do the same to defend itself. And who could blame them? Yet incredibly, insanely, our leaders, our fake leaders, the military-industrial complex, and the uniparty globalist fossils inside the D.C. Beltway want this war to go nuclear. Michael McFaul, Obama's former ambassador, has made deranged tweets saying even if Ukraine is hit by nuclear attacks, it could still win the war. Former general and Bush administration official Mark Kimmett says the United States should consider launching a preemptive nuclear strike on Russia. Former General David Petraeus says that if Russia uses nuclear weapons, no big deal. We'll just engage in massive retaliation. Glossing over the fact that if Russia wants to, it could respond by turning all of America into a smoldering ruin of burning glass. Instead of preventing nuclear war, these lunatics that convince themselves that they are in charge are also convincing themselves that they can win one. That's a lie. Nobody wins a nuclear war. Even Russia almost certainly realizes this. And that's why preventing this nuclear war should be easy. All we have to do is offer a real peace proposal, one which treats Russia with respect and gives them a way to end this war while at the same time saving face. But we, of course, won't do that. No, instead, our fake leaders will refuse all negotiations and just say that Russia must undergo regime change. They basically openly say that Putin and everyone else close to him has to die for this war to end. Well, imagine if you're Putin or any of the people close to him. If the stakes of this war are win or die, then why not try using nuclear weapons to win it? If it fails, the outcome is the same for you either way. You die. That's the message that America, the bad guys, is sending to Putin. They're looking him directly in the eye saying, we dare you to use nuclear weapons. It's complete insanity. It's some of the most evil foreign policy decision-making in history, more evil than the Iraq War, more evil than Afghanistan. Because this just doesn't drag on an awful conventional war. No, it risks the destruction of all Christian civilization. And maybe that's exactly why they want to do it. Meanwhile, the war criminal Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance, just received a taxpayer-funded, you, through the NIH, funding, guess what? The study of new, more deadly gain-of-function bat coronaviruses in Asia. We are funding our own demise. Dr. Paul E. Alexander, former senior advisor to President Trump, is here to discuss that and more next as we continue on the Stu Peters Show. Go nowhere. You have got to get your money out of this Luciferian system designed to kill you and your kids. Protect yourself now with gold and silver from Goldco. I'm telling you, they're going to reset this system, steal your money, your IRA, your 401k, your savings account, your checking account, your retirement accounts, and they're going to send it to their honeypot in Ukraine, where the child pedophilia cabal exists, and bioweapons labs to destroy the nuclear family. Get out. Protect yourself with gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. Plus, you'll get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. It's all going to come crashing down. Have physical gold and silver to protect yourself. Call Goldco now, 855-706-GOLD. Well, exposing all of the things and people and groups that we do on this program, I'm probably not a favorite amongst CPS and the FBI. I acknowledge that. But you know what? We're going to keep exposing things, and now we're even exposing dog food. Did you know that all of these dog food companies, even the ones who say that they have healthy dog food, natural dog food, are putting in a poison that is killing your best friend? So if the rest of these people out here don't like you because you're telling the truth, obviously you wouldn't want to poison your best friend who will always be loyal to you. They're putting meat meal in these dog foods. If you want to know which foods are putting meat meal in there, go to dogfoodexposed.com/stew. Dogfoodexposed.com/stew. Meat meal is poisonous to your animal. You wouldn't give leftover packing plant scraps or spoiled supermarket meat to your family members. Well, maybe mother-in-law. But we treat our pets even better than most of our family members a lot of the times, right? Admittedly. So don't do that. Dr. Marty has this wonderful, pure Nature's Blend dog food. The first four ingredients are real meat. All natural, no additives, no meat meal, no poison, no packing plant scraps, no BS. Go to dogfoodexposed.com/stew. Dogfoodexposed.com/stew. Welcome back. So it's well known that the mRNA shots supposedly work, I guess for a lack of better words, by modifying the RNA in your cells. But does this modification turn recipients into something that isn't even human anymore? Dr. Jane Ruby touched on this briefly yesterday on this program. It's also the belief of attorney Todd Callender. He's warning that anybody who gets the Pfizer or Moderna shots may become a new organism, which allows them to potentially be patented and enslaved by drug companies. We obviously want to hear more about the legal aspect of all of this. To that end, Todd Callender joins us now. Todd, thank you so much for coming. So this is been called fifth-generation warfare. Kieran Kingston was talking about this, bringing receipts and patents yesterday on the program. Dr. Jane Ruby suggested no longer are you a homo sapien, but now you're a homo Borg. What do you know about the legal implications of all of this for those people who've received this inoculation?
Yeah, so this all arises from our case, Robert v. Austin. It's in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals right now. In the trial court, we were trying to figure out the mandate to the military, how it was that all of these service members were being given the shots without informed consent. And I'd found out through the research that they were owed a lesser amount of informed consent rights if they were being genetically modified. It turns out that the military has been doing genetic modification on our soldiers since 2005, at least. That led me down the trail of how did this happen? And I started poking around and finding that this is actually what they call fifth generation warfare. And it's something that all the governments are working on, the UK, Germany, China, and this is the new state of war. So I looked for the law and I found this case called Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics. It's a 2013 Supreme Court case. And the important part of it, the holding in the case, page six, halfway down, it starts with "it is also." The court finds that the use of mRNA to effectuate a gene modification of an organism, in this case, it wasn't humans, but it doesn't matter, to effectuate the gene modification of the organism results in the patent holders owning that new organism. So when you're genetically modifying something, you're creating a new species by virtue of doing that. The question I put in front of the court is, does that apply to humans? Because now we've got, admittedly, mRNA shots that are doing gene modification. As you indicated, they are making people create spike proteins. That's genetic modification. We have it in their own disclosures that they're doing gene deletion, 1p36 gene deletion. So very clearly there is genetic modification happening in vitro right now. Does that, according to the law, result in the new species of people being owned by the patent holders? And if so, you know, what is this new species? All of this, by the way, would be illegal. That's what I'm saying, is that our anti-slavery amendment, that's the 13th Amendment to our Constitution, outlaws the ownership of humans. So I put this in the pleadings, it is in front of the court. Now, the interesting part is the Department of Justice didn't even address it. That's who's defending the DOD, HHS, and FDA, and they didn't even address it in their pleadings. So they're running the risk that this could be deemed as admitted. Funny enough, on the 18th of November, we get our day in court with a three-judge panel, and I'm going to ask the court, you know, please opine on this. I would love to be wrong, Stu. I don't want people to be owned by the patent holders. It would be a great holding, and they would be making law because there's hardly any law on this particular subject. In fact, when you look at gene modification of humans, there's nothing out there. The British people say that, hey, we should probably consider that in the future. But if you look at NASA's future strategic issues of warfare, circa 2025, they are predicting that by 2025 that they will have super soldiers. And it's a plan to actually do that.
So what would be the legal implications for somebody who's been injected and then owned by Big Pharma?
Yeah, the questions are numerous, because if you think about how our law talks about people, human rights, what is a human to enjoy those rights? It's defined as Homo sapien. If this is a new species by virtue of the modification, are they still Homo sapiens? And I have found some reference to a new human called Homo borgensis. And in fact, in the NASA Langley research paper, you will see that they refer to the new humans as Borg. So the question then becomes, if homicide is defined as the unlawful taking of a human life, and we've defined humans as being Homo sapiens, does the penal code protect Homo borgensis, people who are still people, but they're not humans for purposes of the law? Can they be protected? Could somebody be convicted for killing a Homo borgensis? There is no answers to this. Right. This is all new territory here, and we're going to have to find out, because I have deep concerns and reservations as to what could be done to people who are no longer defined as having rights.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even believe that we're having this conversation, to be honest with you. It's 2022 and we're talking about a Homo sapiens no longer being a thing, humans being eradicated and replaced by Borgs. And that brings up a good point. So if Karen Kingston is right and this injection, whatever it is, communicates with 5G, whatever that is, and that could be a kill switch for humanity, for those that have been injected with this thing, then can the people who turn on that switch and blow up all of these Borgs actually be held accountable for it? Or are they just wiping off the face of the planet tens or even hundreds of millions or billions of people who've received at least one dose of these Moderna or Pfizer injections? I mean,
that's right.
NASA's fake, in my opinion, but when we're talking about documents that specifically outline this, and the DOJ, who's defending the DOD, isn't even wanting to comment on this. I mean, what's your speculation?
Well, why should we wonder if this is something they want to do? They've gone to great lengths to tell us that they intend to genetically modify people. Kim Jong-un last year, somewhere around August, did a demonstration of his super soldiers. They're getting ahead, hitting the head with a sledgehammer, and they're just fine. So this is warfare. In fact, you can look for yourself. The Brits and the Germans actually got together, and they created a document called Human Augmentation, Super Soldiers. Goes on for 90-some pages, all about how great this is going to be. And only at page 60 or so do they actually stop and think about the legal consequences of what this may mean to the people who have been modified. The questions are so many, and they're so vast. And my concern is this. If the court finds that, yes, the patent holders could own these synthetic people, then you actually got it right. My concern is that they may actually get away with all the crimes against humanity being committed since they ruled out these shots.
Well, I mean, until they're judged by Almighty God.
Yeah, that's right. Or we change the law.
Yeah.
You know, we have the ability to change the law. And the court, you know, is in the process of making law in our case, because neither of us asked for a hearing on the 18th. The court actually set it for a hearing on their own volition. So my sense is, and this is where law is made, that they intend to address this and other important issues.
When you bring this sort of pleading in an actual court case, is the opposition actually looking at you like, what are you even talking about? Or do they seem to know exactly and have a full understanding of what it is that you're talking about?
Yeah, I am speculating. My sense is that they took a long time to study what it was that I put in the pleadings. And I think they know, and they don't want to touch. There's no good answers to. If I'm right, then, you know, humans are owned in, or people are owned in violation of the 13th Amendment. And that's not going to stand. People are going to say, not a chance. If, however, you know, I'm wrong, then there's going to be thousands of patent holders who are really angry because they spent a bunch of money figuring out how to patent genetically modified people. There is no good answer to this.
So does the Constitution even exist? Is that even relevant anymore when we're talking about, you know, Big Pharma and these gross oversteps of our constitutional rights?
Yeah, well, that's the issue, right? So when the magic legal words are uttered by the WHO, a slew of legal things come into place. When Tedros said it's a public health of international concern, treaty obligations stepped in, and we ended up with a national emergency in the United States, which effectively suspends, I think it's 123 human and constitutional rights. So as long as there's an emergency, we're screwed. We have no rights. And of course, in July of this year, it was Biden that said, oh, monkeypox is a public health emergency of international concern. Those are the magic words. And then all rights are suspended, and they get to do pretty much whatever they want to do, including shutting people down in their houses or churches, picking winners and losers in the marketplace. All of this is a continuation of emergencies, and they're trying to put it in all 50 states right now into their own laws.
And picking winners and losers in the marketplace, by that you mean you're talking about the Walmarts and the Bezos and all of the partners in bed with the deep state. This store can remain open.
Right.
Your mom and pop hardware store has to shut down. It's okay for you to go and stand nut to butt while you light things on fire and burn them down in the streets and rape and pillage and loot in the name of home invading career criminal thugs. But don't you dare go to church and worship God or praise Jesus.
Right.
These are the things that you're talking about.
Well, they have a name for it too, Stu. They call it the public-private partnership. So the answer is yes. And by the way, they'll also quarantine you and fill your veins full of whatever shots they want to, because without any rights, because that's what's actually being proposed in the statutes.
It's a corporate government crime syndicate is what it is. We no longer have a representative government or any form of a constitutional republic at this point. So how do we stop this exactly if the courts are gone and the Constitution's gone? The government is rogue. If the president, by the way, has the unilateral authority to designate a state of emergency of national or international concern, then the president also, by the way, unilaterally has the authority to deem certain groups terrorist organizations.
Yes,
the next president that has any balls will name the FBI, will name the CPS agency, will name the CDC, will name the FDA, will name the CIA. These are all bona fide terrorist organizations carrying out missions against the American people on behalf of a hijacked government right now. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I do. And I think the way out of this is to invalidate what they're doing. You can't govern without the consent of the governed. And we as the people have the right to refuse that. We can simply invalidate what the federal government is doing and focus our efforts on the state, local, and county, because all action is local, all law enforcement is local. there is no law without law enforcement. So if we can get, you know, back to normal with our sheriffs, our local cops, and invalidate what's happening in the federal government, under the 10th Amendment, we have a right to just make our new federal government, one that actually works for us. And I think that's kind of where we have to be.
You can't govern the ungovernable. But we didn't choose these lockdowns or these mask mandates for our kids in school. We protested against this, and we were labeled insurrectionists and domestic terrorists for protesting against critical race theory and the transgender push to mutilate and defile and destroy God's greatest gift to us, which is our children. Nobody wants this. I mean, there's just absolutely no way that the majority of America is okay with this. I see things like the Great Replacement happening at our border. Nobody's wants to spend hundreds of billions of dollars in Ukraine, a crap hole country that means absolutely nothing to American policy, infrastructure, rights, any of that. Putin didn't force you to get an mRNA injection. Putin wasn't promoting transgenderism in your kids' schools. You know, I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. And until we stop them, they're not going to stop.
It's a demoralization. I think that's the goal. And we've got to stick to our principles. We have to find God and bring God into our lives. Find those morals, the moral compass and the principles, stick to them and refuse to allow others not to. It's only in that way humanity actually has a chance of surviving this.
I agree. You have an upcoming symposium. What are the details on that?
Yeah, thank you. October 6th, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern, is the Five Small Stones Legal Network. It's a Vax Choice-sponsored event where we've got some pretty notable people that are going to be speaking about what it is we can do to take our country back, funny enough, how military medical martial law got us here with gene modification, and how it is we undo that. So if anybody can attend, it'd be great. Starts at 3 at 4:15. Really notable people have breakout rooms. They're going to host them and answer questions. I would really like to have people come and visit. I think you'll learn a lot.
Where can people find details on this, the when's, the where's? Good.
It's a Clout Hub is who's sponsoring it. If you look up Vax Choice, VAXXChoice.com, you'll find details there. Or go to Clout Hub and look up Vax Choice or Five Small Stones. It'll be there.
Vax Choice, VAXXChoice.com. Todd Callender, thank you so much. We appreciate you being
thank
here.
Thank you, Stu.
I have absolutely become a super fan, completely blown away with the immediate results of feeling focused, having a clear mind. I literally just doubled my mental performance. That's what it feels like. So I have a new go-to routine for my productivity boost, my immune support, and even glowing and healthy skin. Take a look. The product was developed after long years of research by the most advanced brain chemist and formulator today. You've probably all heard about the superpowers of mushroom extracts and collagen. Well, guess what? The product that I want to share with you today contains the most hyper-concentrated forms of the four best health-boosting mushrooms. It's like magic in a jar. It's called Collagenius. When you combine the cultivating powers of the four mushrooms that are in this product and the various benefits of collagen, it's truly the most effective way to energize your brain and your body. It is genius. It's delicious also, and it's effective. You can just add it to your coffee or simply mix it with water. It's like a smooth, chocolatey drink, and you'll definitely find a way into your routine. The most important thing, it'll fuel your brain and body with all-day energy. No jitters, no crashes like you get with coffee and caffeine. So if you have brain fog or difficulty focusing, dealing with distractions, if you want to repair your brain in the most natural way, don't wait. Check out this product right now. Go to nootopia.com/stew, N-O-O-T-O-P-I-A, nootopia.com/stew. And if you use promo code Stu Peters at checkout, you'll get big discounts. Nootopia.com/stew.
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis. But a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. HeavensHarvest.com.
Welcome back. So if anybody else besides Dr. Fauci deserves to die in prison, or worse, for their role in the 2020 COVID outbreak, it's Peter Daszak. Dashik is the president of EcoHealth Alliance. That's the nonprofit that took U.S. taxpayer money, your money, and funneled it to the Wuhan Institute of Virology specifically to study bat coronaviruses. That's right. In 2018, Dashik is the one who sent a letter to DARPA begging them to modify bat coronaviruses in a lab to make them more infectious and more deadly to humans. Deadly to your family. Deadly to your grandma, your aunt, your uncle, your kids. Seriously, he publicly called for creating a bioweapon. This isn't just some theory. He openly did it. In fact, he specifically called for making the exact change to the coronavirus that makes COVID-19 different from all previous natural coronaviruses. After COVID-19 started to spread across the world, it was Dashik that coordinated the efforts to cover up its origin, teaming up with Fauci and others to label the truth as disinformation while lying and saying the virus emerged from the wild. Peter Dashik should be sitting in a prison cell right now, or rotting, hanging from the end of a noose. But instead, he's gone back to getting your money. I'm not BSing. Just a few days ago, the NIH gave Dashik a brand new grant. And yes, the grant is to once again study bat coronaviruses in the wild. We are funding our own demise. Dr. Paul E. Alexander served on President Trump's COVID response team, and he joins us now with more on this. Dr. Alexander, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Stu, once again, thanks very much for having me and the forward-facing that you are in the topics that you cover. I agree fully with what you said. The thing about it is that now we are seeing that Dashik, that's EcoHealth Alliance, his group. Remember, he's the guy, the public needs to know that he's the guy who worked with Barack out of University of Carolina, North Chapel Hill, and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Together, what they were doing with Fauci and Francis Collins. Don't forget, Dr. Francis Collins of the NIH was the real lead in this. Fauci, to me, was the water boy. He was the water carrier. But Francis Collins must be investigated and sitting in a docket answering questions under oath. Because what they were doing with this research that they were doing, first of all, it was not even permitted on U.S. soil. But it was stitching together these various pieces of viruses to manufacture chimeric viruses. And the key thing that they found out, it seems that they got jollies and fascination from it. But once you inserted a particular molecular sequence, the furin cleavage site, into the spike protein, they were taking back coronaviruses, and in everyone they could find in those caves in Wuhan, they were inserting the furin to assess how much spillover to human beings could emerge, how infectious it could be, and how lethal. Whether or not this was to create a biological weapon for the battlefield or to see how the United States should respond, that's not the point. The point is they were told that these coronaviruses were too deadly. Do not touch them. Do not even take them into the lab. They didn't stop. Dashik and they actually juiced it up even more. And they have created disaster. And I agree with you. I want them sitting in a docket. I want them answering questions under oath. And I want a proper public inquiry, legal inquiry, shows that they did this recklessly, dangerously, deliberately. I don't care. I want them fully responsible. I want them, all of their money taken away from them. And I want them jailed for the rest of their life. And if a court of law says that you costed lives in America, I want you impose the death penalty.
Coronaviruses in a lab to make them more infectious and more deadly to humans. Peter Dashik openly called for this. He wrote the letter to DARPA, yes, asking for the grant, asking for permission. He openly said this. It's not a theory. He did this. It's a fact. I don't know what else more evidence we need. This is why Fauci is able to walk away and nobody really gives a damn, because Francis Collins is still there, because Peter Dashik is still there, and the NIH, yes, just gave EcoHealth Alliance another grant the taxpayers, Dr. Alexander, are funding bioweapons openly that will be responsible for killing their kids. And since COVID-19 wasn't as deadly as they had planned for it to be, this one, you can guarantee whatever they concoct and whip up next is going to be even more deadly.
I absolutely agree, Stu. And the reality is right now they're fooling around with Nipah virus. I was reading about it recently. It's a 50 times more deadly. We are very fortunate. This coronavirus has a mortality rate of 0.15, infection fatality rate, 0.15%. John Ioannidis from Stanford, exceptional modeling. You have to understand, the MERS coronavirus that hit the Middle East in 2011, 2012, had a mortality of about 38%. If this virus had that mortality, we'd have wiped out almost half of the world. SARS-1 had a mortality of 10% in 2003. This was a baby. So what they did was they fooled around with it. They inserted it. It's the furin cleavage site. That is the key. They have figured out once they inserted that sequence into the spike protein, just between the S1 and S2 subunit, right in that juncture, the spike becomes extremely infectious. And our fear, people like Dr. Gert van den Bosch, what he's arguing is this. He's saying that it's not just about the infectiousness. We run the risk right now, if we continue pushing the vaccines, these COVID gene injections that do not work. So they have created a virus that we can't get our arms around. That's number one. They implemented a response that was more devastating than the virus. And then they brought a COVID gene injection that failed out of the gate that is causing more variants to emerge. And Van den Bosch is clear. If we don't stop this gene injection now, right now, we are going to cause the creation of a lethal, not just infectious, a lethal virulent subvariant that could actually threaten humanity. We have actually unleashed a monster here that we do not know how to stop. One way is stop the COVID gene injection today.
I'm gonna get to the injections in a minute. Is there any reason for you to believe that the release of this COVID-19, whatever that is, was accidental or intentional? Which do you believe?
I love you, Stu, because of your matter-of-fact way and you follow the data and the science. I am the same way too. I have no emotions or no dog in this race, but just the facts. I believe today this was a deliberate release. And I believe fully that this was released in a way that was damaged, that could have damaged, and it did, prior President Trump. I do believe that to damage the United States economy, because he had China on the ropes. If you remember in January 2020, Trump was unstoppable. And it's almost a very sinister plan. It's almost to now we're looking at the data and we are beginning to see studies now and evidence that this virus was circulating, not in February 2020. We had data that now shows us, first of all, December 2019. Now we're seeing September 2019. We now have reports of May 2019. We're going back. I am arguing this was circulating in the world in 2018. What they did was they arranged detection of it in February, March 2020 with the flawed over cycle PCR test with a cycle count of over 40 that was detecting viral junk, etc. In other words, we are also arguing, Stu, that a lot of the deaths that we saw, the spike in deaths, have occurred too because of how they treated our frail elderly patients in the hospitals, because we gave them diamorphine, midazolam, we ventilated them, we killed them. Every single thing here was wrong.
We gave them a Tony Fauci failed Ebola drug, a poisonous and toxic remdesivir as well.
Exactly.
In January of 2020, you just mentioned that time frame. That's about the same time, on the 4th of January, to be very specific, that a CIA agent in Wuhan, China, was made contact with the inventor of the mRNA technology that would later be used to roll out these bioweapon injections that are killing millions of people. What is the threshold for death where members, representatives of our so-called fake government are going to say, stop this?
Well, the thing about it is we have evidence in the past where you have 5 deaths or 50 deaths, you put a black box warning. By 50 deaths in the past, there was a pandemic emergency.
What makes this different, Dr. Alexander? Why not this one?
Because from the very beginning, Stu, you saw the goal was to lock us down, mask us in fear for the vaccine. Now they brought the vaccine and we have very, very dark, I call them dark players.
The vaccine is killing millions of people. Was that intentional?
I have said before, I believe in several different forums, I believe today, yes, I believe unless they can show me evidence otherwise, and I bring biological training, warfare training from Johns Hopkins to the table. I'm not just an epidemiologist. I went to Johns Hopkins and I schooled under Dr. Donald Henderson, who eradicated smallpox. I know what I'm talking about. I believe this is a slow kill by a weapon. Slow kill. It is harming the population and it's killing people way beyond the deaths incurred by the virus. That is a stunning situation and they won't stop.
And that's why that's why there's no threshold for death, because it's being done intentionally and because the very people that we have been taught or indoctrinated or programmed to trust are the ones who are heavily invested in all of the big pharma manufacturing companies that are rolling out this bioweapon that was intentionally designed to kill, and they will not stop doing this until they are stopped, period.
Yes, correct, until they are stopped. So when persons like myself come out and we are just trying to come at the public in a roundabout way to say, we have to now put pressure on them to say, you have to stop the vaccine, stop it. Because if you don't stop it, the deaths will not stop. We have a situation now where way beyond what the virus, I mean, right now, the Omicron might be infectious, but the deaths are flat. The deaths are down. Yet we're experiencing excess mortality across all of the high vaccinated nations in the world. Excess mortality cannot be explained by the COVID virus. We could explain a portion of it by delayed treatment. We locked down people and elderly people got sicker and sicker. So now they're dying from their conditions because they got no treatment. Hospitals were closed to them. But most of those deaths we are seeing is excess mortality due to the vaccine. The vaccine is killing people, hands down, no question.
The data proves it. The evidence proves it. The studies prove it. The bodies on the ground prove it. The kids going to early graves proves it. They will not stop until they are stopped. Who is going to be the first governor in our so-called constitutional republic to say, incinerate all of the vaccines in my state? They are not to be used anymore. They are deemed dangerous and deadly. More of the Stu Peters Show in 60 seconds. We're looking for real leaders out here. Gambler, I'm not a betting man, but if I were to gamble or bet, I would bet that you don't want to accidentally take a laxative and have the worst day of your life. Well, if you're currently taking a magnesium supplement, that's great because you're achieving to have the magnesium in your body that it deserves, but chances are you're flushing it right down the toilet. And I mean that literally. You see, the most common type of magnesium is actually used as a laxative. So if you're taking it, you're literally crapping and peeing it out. Which means that the 80% of Americans who are magnesium deficient could actually be making their deficiency worse by taking magnesium. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Well, the worst part about magnesium deficiency is how it affects almost every aspect of your health. Your metabolism suffers. You can't lose weight. Your blood pressure goes up and a whole lot more. Low mood, stress, anxiety, sleepless nights. The worst part is your sleep suffers the most. So what's the solution? It's called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's my favorite magnesium product. I continue to highly recommend and I use it every day. It is the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with the 7 most critical and unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually absorb. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. I always encourage you to do the research yourself. Go check it out. I'm not lying. I wouldn't steer you wrong. magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. J.R. Majewski is an Air Force veteran running for the House of Representatives in Ohio's 9th Congressional District. So now, the 9th has been Democratic, if you believe in that construct, for the past 40 years. But that may all be about to change. Ohio's political loyalties are shifting in an America First direction, and the 9th District has new borders this year that are more pro-Republican. Incumbent globalist fossil Marcy Kaptur, who's been there for 40 years, is facing the toughest re-election battle of her career, and the Democrats are desperate to bail her out. So they've gone back to their usual bag of tricks by simply recruiting the press to do unofficial campaign ads for them. A few days ago, the Associated Press, those liars, put out a hit piece based on shoddy information, probably intentionally, accusing JR of fabricating his military service 20 years ago. They claimed that JR had misrepresented his Air Force service and that he had never deployed to Afghanistan, as he claims. Well, these allegations were based on incomplete records. Here's the truth. JR was based in Qatar, but he was in the Air Force. In case you didn't know, and obviously the AP doesn't know, the Air Force works with airplanes, whose purpose is flying from one place to another. So even though Majewski was based in Qatar, his job involved flying jets filled with soldiers and ammunition and other supplies into the Afghan combat zone. Well, instead of filling in these details, the AP simply sat on their false story for months so they could release their hit piece just as military absentee ballots were mailed out. National File just went and did all of the research work that the AP refused to do. They found the imminent danger bonus pay that Majewski received in 2002, proof that he spent time in the Afghanistan combat zone. They found another veteran who could testify to Majewski repeatedly flying in and out of Afghanistan. But so far, the fake news at the AP is refusing to change their story. Well, we're always in search of the truth. And to that end, we'll go straight to the source. J.R. Majewski joins us now. J.R., thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Dude, thank you for having me, man. It's a pleasure.
So the AP is just out and out lying about your Air Force service just in time for these absentee ballots to go out. In a fair election, given the outside chance that that might happen, how poorly does this impact you?
You know, it certainly creates a narrative nationally, and it's inspired the veterans community to come out and attack me by way of social media. But locally, I mean, this is what Marcy Kaptur's reputation is built upon. She spent $1.4 million, I believe, was the last number we had, against making political ads that are just attacking me. And she's attacking me for everything that you can believe. It's consistent, constant lying and nothing about what she's done for 40 years. And the district here, they know that. They're very, very astute and well aware of Marcy Kaptur's tactics. The fact that remains is that Marcy Kaptur is not running her campaign. She has a squad of far left progressives that are just ferocious running her campaign. And that said, she's allowing them to put messaging out there that is, you know, completely false.
What has Marcy Kaptur and this far left extremist radical group of communists done for the 9th District of Ohio that would suggest voters should stick with her?
Absolutely nothing, but you know, their campaign narrative is that J.R. Majewski essentially is an ultra MAGA Republican that is just far too dangerous for Northwest Ohio. That's the narrative they're trying to put out there.
And what is the actual platform of J.R. Majewski?
The reality of it is that, you know, I grew up right here in the 9th District of Ohio. I spent my 4 years during Operation Enduring Freedom. I had a successful career, 20-year career in the nuclear power industry. And I won a highly contested primary election against two state officials, elected officials. And the people in this district want to see someone like me that's willing to stand up for their life, their liberty, and their pursuit of happiness. And I scare the hell out of many of the fair weather Republicans. So, you know, that's it. At the end of the day, that's what the Democratic Party is scared of. They know that this election is going to be a referendum on their poor policies.
Well, and more so, it's the uniparty, the establishments. I'm sure that there's Republicans out there who would go to war with you as well, because you're not an insider. You're not a political elitist. And you stand for what the Constitution stands for, individual liberties, the rights of Americans, specifically those in the 9th District of Ohio. And that's why they're willing to lie completely. So, in fact, did you spend time in Afghanistan, and were you in a combat zone?
Yeah, so I was in Afghanistan. I deployed there multiple times from Qatar. Qatar was our staging base, and my job was to move troops and supplies downrange, and that's exactly what I did.
How did you get from Qatar to Afghanistan?
Airplane.
Weird. And so the AP is just out and out lying. These are unofficial campaign ads solicited by these Democrats, I guess if that's what you want to say, establishment globalists, communists, totalitarian regimes. This is the people that they employ to go and do their bidding for them. Nobody should be shocked about this. The press is lying. Nobody should believe that the press is here to do anything positive for America whatsoever. They have proven time and time again to be liars.
And their number one goal out of this, Stu, was to scare the establishment Republicans and, you know, the fair weather Republicans and to kill my fundraising. You know, this election is going to take, and it has taken, a lot of money, money that I've raised, you know, on my own good effort and good faith, where Marcy Kaptur, having been in office for 40 years, is sitting on millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, they knew that financially any campaign of a non-incumbent first time Republican is, you know, definitely heavily reliant upon their fundraising. And so that is what they've attempted to do. That's what they've been successful in doing, is, you know, getting the NRCC to pull their independent expenditures. And, you know, many of the donors in nationally, you know, they're referring back to the story. You know, it's been a mess. To be honest with you, but
it's interesting, you know, that you bring up the McCarthy run NRCC. This is the establishment globalist Republican, fake Republicans that I was just alluding to. And so the NRCC bends a knee to Marcy Kaptur and the communists and the globalists.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad that was the reaction, was the pull out of my race. I mean, this is a district that has been under 40 years of Democratic leadership and demise. And the people here in Northwest Ohio, you know, given the fact that the district went from a D16 to an R+3, they actually had hope. You know, they had hope for the first time in 40 years, and they still have hope. They know I'm a fighter. They know that I won my primary election, you know, wearing out shoes and knocking on every door, and they expect that I'll do the same, which I will. But it was just, you know, a little deflating for the news to come out the way it did and not have anybody there backing me up.
I think
the
it's only great. One
that's really backed me up is President Trump.
I think, yep. And that great backing to have, by the way. I don't know another man that has any more sway over hundreds of millions of people on this planet. I mean, in the history of our existence, other than Jesus Christ, I don't think that anybody is probably more well known than Donald Trump. So that's a great endorsement to have. But you know, this is the whole idea, this fundraising cancel culture that takes place out here from dissidents, from people who speak the truth, from people who present data and real information, people who will fight for an America First agenda, like the 2016 Trump agenda. Every single weapon, every tool in the toolbox at the disposal of the communists who want to trample the rights of Americans is going to be used against any outsider like Trump and like yourself to make examples out of you to discourage any other patriot from ever seeking office under the United States. Do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. It's not just your political career that they're going for. I mean, this was maliciously intended to, you know, not only affect my campaign, but my personal life. And they knew that. They deployed this with that intent. And look, they're not going to be successful at the end of the day. I think that, you know, my will and my drive and the reason why I'm running, they're going to stand firm. And I like to say that I got God on my side. And I can sleep up with a cool pillow at the end of the night, where, you know, they're going to have to carry this burden, you know, for the rest of this campaign. And I think we will prevail, but we're going to need the help of the American people to do so.
They'll carry this burden straight to the lake of fire. You know, I want to say big ups to National File on this, because this is actually a good thing. Because once again, for the people of Ohio's 9th Congressional District, it has now shown exactly who we as Americans, we as freedom-loving, liberty-embracing, constitutional, America-first Americans are up against the lying, fake Marxist regime that is only intact because of a coup d'etat when the real insurrection happened on November 3rd of 2020, and nobody should ever forget that. J.R. Majewski, if you want to support him, by the way, and he's going to need it because he's going up against, and by the way, you have to ask yourself, how does a 40-year public servant like Marcy Kaptur actually develop a war chest of millions upon millions of dollars? That should piss people off and start an inquiry. You should be curious. Where did Marcy get all of this money from to begin with? This is a grassroots campaign here for Majewski. If you want to contribute to that, go to JR Majewski for Congress.com. That's the number four. Again, J.R. Majewski, the number four, Congress.com. I got about a minute left here. I'll give you the final words.
Stu, I appreciate it. And like you said, this is going to take, you know, not a village, but this is going to take a country. And, you know, Donald Trump endorsed me for a reason. He endorsed me because he knows that I'm going to be a fighter in Congress. He knows that what I bring to the table with respect to my nuclear power background is going to get us back to energy independence. And look, I'm going to be the first guy to call this Green New Deal brown like the turd it is, and be able to speak in front of the American people with knowledge on power. And it's not just nuclear power. It's the fact that American innovation is being sold to China, and we need to bolster and unleash American energy dominance.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. An America First agenda, a real one. And given a fair and free election, there's no doubt that you should win. The people of Ohio cannot be happy with what communist Democrats have done to the 9th Congressional District. They know that the tyranny that they've lived under is unacceptable. They know that the trampling of the Constitution is anti-American. And they know that the agenda of Marcy Kaptur and her entire extreme left communist regime that backs her, along with the McCarthy-controlled NRCC and establishment globalist fossils in this fake hijacked government, is oppressive to their inherent God-given inalienable rights, and they won't stand for it. I have faith in that. J.R. Majewski, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Stu. God bless.
If you go online and do your research about the benefits of CBD and things that you can use CBD to treat, you'll be shocked. The list is long and things that you would never think about. How about Parkinson's symptoms? That's a horrible disease. What about your kids and ADHD? Your doctor would love to fill your kids full of neurotoxins, Ritalin and Adderall and methylphenidate and clonidine. No, the natural CBD plant hemp can help to treat these things. Go online and look. I'm not making this up. Seasonal allergies, migraine headaches, joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain. I get my CBD from Curable. That's K-U-R-I-B-L, curable.com. I know the owners and directors at Curable. They're right here in my home state of Minnesota. This is a family-owned business, which is extremely important. We want to do business with small family-owned people. Why support the globalists? These big, huge companies selling this fake CBD, God only knows what's in it. All of the hemp from Curable CBD is grown right here in my home state of Minnesota. Plus, you get 20% off when you use the promo code STU. Site-wide, all of their products, 20% off when you use promo code STU. Joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, chronic pain, arthritic pain, after-surgery pain, aches, allergies, migraine, headaches, Parkinson's, ADHD, the list goes on and on. Go to Curable.com. That's K-U-R-I-B-L.com. Curable.com. Use promo code STU for 20% off at Curable.com. Everything that the world has told you is completely upside down, especially when it comes to your health. People avoid chocolate because they think they're going to get fat, or they're going to get acne or oily skin, or it's bad for your health. No. EarthEchoFoods.com. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com right now and enjoy rich, decadent, and creamy chocolate with all of the health benefits that are provided by originating with organic cocoa beans, naturally kissed by the sun. They add turmeric and MCT oil and sea salt and cracked pepper. It is perfect. It's good for your health. Actually reduces inflammation. Makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it tastes unbelievably great. EarthEchoFoods.com right now. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com.